Broadcasting 2.0 for November 24th, 2023, episode 156, Model Drift. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Podcasting 2.0. It is your weekly podcast. That's not a podcast. It's actually a board meeting. That's right. Board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. We are the only boardroom that meets even on national holidays. American national holidays, that is. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man who will kill your rooster at the drop of a hat. Say hello to my friend on the other end, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dave Jones.
This is an extra long intro on the, you're in a Thanksgiving mood.
I am. I'm all, you know, I'm trying to get over the turkey sleeping powder. What is it called? What's the stuff that's in turkey that makes you sleep?
The tryptophan?
Tryptophan. There you go. I'm on a tryptophan trip.
Yes. What's that stuff called? TP5?
Crack?
Something like that.
Is it crack that you're thinking of?
Yeah. Street meth.
Yes. Street legal meth. Yes, exactly.
The rooster thing was quite interesting. You know, we were originally going to eat chicken for Thanksgiving.
Yes, because you have so many you've killed, you horrible murderer.
I dropped three of them this past week.
And you even have a term. I dropped three of them. I'm going to drop you, rooster. Wow. You are a trad man right there.
So one of these roosters, wow, one of these roosters, I'm convinced was possessed by a demon.
Do you know when Jesus
cast out the demons out of Legion into the pigs?
Into the pigs and they ran over the cliff, yeah.
Yes, we know this is possible, that demons can go into animals, and I think that that's what happened to this rooster.
But where did it come from? Where was it before it got into the rooster?
That's a good question. I don't know, but whoever that guy is, he's feeling a lot better now. I wonder if I can find what this rooster looks like. It's like, it's got this crazy, like, blowout of feathers on the top of his head. Looks like a pom-pom.
Okay. I'm not familiar with this.
I wonder if I can find this. Okay, yeah, this sort of looks like it.
You're gonna send me a copy of this image. Right now. Okay.
I'm gonna signal this to you.
I'm excited. I'm very excited to see your rooster. Show me your cock. Show title. There we go.
Sending dick pics.
Oh, wow. That's an awesome looking rooster. Wow, that is crazy.
Here's another.
Look at this that guy.
This is more accurate to what those ours
are,
look
those
like.
Those are funky, man. What a cute, kind of cute dude. In a way.
No, they're demonic. Absolutely demonic.
They're no good.
So this, let me see if I, how do I go to this thing?
Now, where do you get these roosters from? Do people give them to you? Do you go buy them? Do you go to the rooster mart?
We go to this, we've got, every year the school that my wife used to teach at, they raise chickens from eggs. And so we get, like when they're grown, at the end of the year, we get them. We get the chicks. So then we just finish raising them here.
Yeah.
Let me post this into the chat room so everybody says it. So this rooster, like,
this crazy looking thing.
It can't see. You know, from the picture, you see that the eyes are totally obfuscated.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it can't see. So it runs around like a maniac, and it's got its chin lifted up so that it can see from underneath its feathers. So it looks like a psycho all the time. So I went out there to kill this thing.
You're killing him based upon appearance. That's kind of racist. I don't know. It's not right.
It's chicken racist. Yes. So I go out there to kill this thing. It's a maniac. We all hate it. It like attacks your feet.
Everyone's like, "Dad, go kill that thing."
Hey, even my 13-year-old, she's like, "Guy, you got to kill that thing. It's a psycho." And so I go out there to kill it, and I'm like, "Okay, I'm going to kill three. We got three roosters."
Now, when you go out there to kill it, do they go like, "Uh oh, here he comes"? Do they know it? Do they know you're gonna drop him?
They don't know anything. They're stupid. And so they're just like, hey, cool. What are you doing? You must have food.
Yeah, but, hey, what are you doing with your hand on my neck, man? That's not cool, bro.
That's a really large knife you have. What are you going to do?
Oh, you cut his head off? I thought you just turned his neck, just snapped it.
This is the story. I had to use a different technique this time. So the first time I killed him, I did the neck break. And it was effective and it was fine. And it's efficient. So I go and I, of course the first one I grab is this guy. And, so I got him and, you sort of hold their body under your, hold them like a basketball under your arm. Uh-huh. And then you make a ring with your fingers, like you're a racist.
A white nationalist. Is that what you said?
White nationalist. Yes, yes. You make the okay sign and like you're white. And then you pull the head forward and then until it won't go any further. And then you bend the head back and yank as hard as you can forward. So it's like, it makes it just like a crunch. So I did that.
Oh God.
And it was fine. I mean, like I heard the crunch. It kind of, wiggled like they do when they die. And then I hold it up and its eyes are closed and it's just completely limp. I'm like, all right, well, that was pretty easy.
And then he opened his eyes again and looked at you and went, bro,
you shouldn't have done that.
That's no good.
I'm like, okay.
I'm trying to find a sound effect. Yeah. not quite. I'm working on it.
So I'm going to scald this chicken to make the feathers come off easier. You like dunk it in hot water and that makes the feathers just kind of release, So I go in, I'm like, okay, I'm good. I'm making good time. So I lay him down on our deck and I turn to go into the house and it starts kind of flopping a little bit. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
The post death,
Yeah, sure. Flop. Yes.
And I'm like, okay, well that's normal. I mean, they do that. But I keep looking at it. This thing all of a sudden pops up on both feet and takes off back into the yard.
Oh man, that must have been so freaky.
This thing was dead, dude. It was totally dead and it came back to life and then took off into the yard. And so then I spend the next 20 minutes trying to catch this thing and it finally goes up under our deck and our deck is only like 8 inches off the ground. I can't get it. I can't get to this thing.
And he's still flapping around down there?
Oh yeah. I mean, he's like half dead, just kind of like laying there with his head all weird. And I'm like, oh my gosh, he's going to die. He's just going to go up under the deck and die.
We've lost all audience at this point. Everyone's like, this is disgusting. I can't believe these guys are horrible. I can't advertise on this podcast.
No, you can't. We're not brand safe
or suitable.
So get this. This is a fun story though, because I'm like, okay, fine. I'll come back to this thing later and he'll probably be dead in a little while anyway. So I'll do the other two. So I spend the next hour and a half trying to catch these stupid roosters and I cannot do it, man. It is impossible to catch a rooster that does not want to be caught in a large yard.
Especially when it's already dead. This is very interesting.
Yes. Once they die, then they become very hard to catch. So I finally, I'm like, you know what? So me and Marigold are both out there trying to catch these things. We can't catch them. I'm like, we can get our dog out there, Banjo.
Oh yeah. But he'll rip it apart once he gets it.
That's the fun part is he didn't. He did not do that. My dog is, he's about 107 pounds now.
Yeah.
He's a Great Pyrenees. And so Pyrenees, they're guard
dogs.
They're like farm guard dogs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So mm-hmm. They don't hurt the animals by their nature. So he got out there and he's just kind of ignoring them. That's what he does. And then, he sees me chasing these things and he's like,
Oh, this
is what we're supposed to do.
Okay, boss.
Yeah, exactly. And so then he gets into it. He had these things caught in 30 seconds.
Wow. He's a bird dog. Who knew? He's an undercover bird dog.
Yeah. So he runs one of them down, corners it and just steps on his wing and just holds it and looks at me.
Oh, I'm like, good, you're boy, a good Banjo. Dog. Good boy. Yeah.
Yeah. So I grabbed them. So I had made the, do you know the killing cone? Do you know that?
Yes. Yes. Well, you just pull it through the cone and the head goes off and you're good to go. Yes, I've seen these.
So I made the cone. I made a cone out of sheet metal, hung it on the tree. You flip them upside down and drop their head down through the bottom of the cone. And then you take a super sharp knife, you pull their neck and you go.
Yep.
Yep. And then the blood drains out. They're dead in like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And it's very humane. It's a great way to do it.
After you chase them around with a broken neck for half an hour, it's very humane, Dave. It's a beautiful thing.
This is a learning process. Yes.
Sound very rookie to me. I don't know. It doesn't sound like you're a pro.
I will totally admit my rookie status on this. So I banjo catches one, dispatching the cone. Good to go.
Good
throw him over in the, throw him in the throw the chicken in the wheelbarrow. Next one. Catches it, cone, wheelbarrow, good to go. Like this is like I'm an expert now.
Yeah.
So then we get a big old stick and get this thing out. Get the last one, the psycho. When we get him out from under the deck, banjo catches him. I take him. I stick him in the cone, and give him about about a minute. He stops moving, and then some neighbors come by. I start talking to them for a while. It's been about 20 minutes. I go back to the cone
and
I start to pull him out with his legs and he starts kicking. He's still alive.
Wow. Well, not alive. It's just nerves or whatever, right? It's just whatever keeps moving.
No, Adam, it is still alive.
Okay. That's possessed. That's possessed.
It's a demon.
Wait a minute. He's looking at you. You snipped his head off.
No. The head was still on. It was just, he had bled out from the neck. And his eyes are like kicking around, looking at me like he's, like,
God. Oh. All right, now you're creeping me out. Now it's gone too far.
I had to go full off of the head, like full bore to finally kill this thing. It would not die. It was motivated. Like, they say your eyes are a window into the soul.
Yeah.
You can't see this chicken's eyes, so clearly it has no soul.
Clear, yeah, it's obvious.
it was animated and motivated by spiritual forces.
Oh, wow,
that we don't understand.
That's so creepy.
It creeped me out so bad that I didn't even eat it. We just used it for bone broth.
Oh man,
yeah. So you learn something every Thanksgiving.
I like Hey Citizen says my grandparents used to do the five head technique of dipping the chicken above the fermenting wine in the oak barrel until it fell asleep. That sounds like a good idea. You should put it to sleep first.
They made it drunk.
I guess. Yeah.
That's a neat, okay. That's a good technique. Next time we'll be smooth.
Yes, I think we should use these pictures though. That should be our mascot, our logo. I mean, I'm liking this crazy rooster.
Yeah, with the RSS waves coming off its head. Yeah.
We'll make that the podcast industrial complex mascot. There you go. The possessed chicken.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, brother. So what did you eat? Did you have chicken or did you have turkey or what did you have?
No, we went to my parents' house last night and ate some ham over there. And then we're going to have I got a heart out at 1 o'clock today, so my kids are coming over and we're gonna have family dinner. We'll have ham again here too.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
what'd y'all do?
We went to the International Arms Dealer. He hosted a dinner.
Oh, that's right.
He does a lot of real estate deals too. So some real estate people there. It's kind of interesting to hear a little bit of that. And we played left, right, center.
What is that?
It's where you all have $9 and then you roll three dice and then it's either left, right, center. And so if it's a dot, nothing happens. If it's left, you have to give $1 to the person to the left of you. If it's right, one to the right. And if it's center, you put one into the pot and you keep doing this till eventually the pot is full and one person is left over with money and that person wins the pot.
Okay.
It's kind of fun. Right.
This is the arms dealer, so you did it with hundreds, right?
Thousands. Yeah, of course. Hundies. That's right, baby. Hundies. The arms dealer.
The part the party favors at this guy's was like uranium depleted 7.6 millimeter.
I made the joke of like, hey, you know, we're gambling here. We got booze. We need some guns. Like, okay, brings out all kinds of guns. Like, no, that's all right, bro.
50 cal on the pool table. Yeah.
This one belonged to Jesse James. Like, okay, all right,
cool. Okay,
yeah, he had some cool firearms.
Nice.
I was trying to think. I wrote down a whole bunch of stuff to talk about today. We obviously don't have to talk about it. I'm just glad we're doing a little update for everybody, even though it's a different time. I think it's good that we stay. It's always good. Adam Curry's number one rule of podcasting. People always ask me, what is the number one rule? So the number one rule is you should always release your show on the same day at approximately the same time, which I'm not very good at that myself, to be honest. Particularly with Boostergram Ball, it's like a floating thing in the middle for me. But that is the number one. That is the number one thing, because people start to build their life around your release schedule, whether you realize it or not.
Yeah, and we find that out every time we miss a show. It's like,
oh yeah, people are like, what? I don't know what to do with my Friday. I'm like, go out, go to a bar. We can think of some things you can do. I noticed something. There's kind of something interesting happening. It just hit me today as I was listening to who's the guy from Podpage.com. He was on the
Brendan.
Brendan, yeah, he was a nice guy. I use Podpage for a couple of my shows. And it's great for someone like Adam, you know, it's like, I don't have to think about anything. I just publish. And as long as I can get all the publishing right, which is a challenge by itself, then it just updates on that page and it's cool. But he now, okay, maybe I should step back for a second. So we have two full blown podcasting 2.0, native, I'll call them native hosting companies, RSSblue.com. and podhome.fm. And then we have legacy companies in various degrees of, I hate to call it compliance, but in various, and in fact, I thought that Buzzsprout did value blocks and I was corrected on that. It's like, wow. Oh, and I thought
through their support.
Yeah. And they can't do splits or anything like that. So, oh, okay. Yeah. I guess that is true. RSS.com does support the value block.
In the UI. Yeah.
In the UI. And of course, Blueberry supports a lot. And I would say of the legacy hosting companies, Blueberry, has probably come along the furthest. But we've seen So then we have the 2.0 native, which I really enjoy because, you know, all of a sudden music hosting is a thing. Boom, they've got music. But Blueberry started with the podcastmirror.com service, which is really smart. You know, it's kind of an interim step that for stuff that, and it has its downsides, but it's, you know, it's a good, I don't know, I'm curious how successful it is. But it's a good kind of I guess, what would you call that, a shim in a way? Is that kind of a shim?
In a different way. Yeah. Sort of like at a different layer in the stack. Yeah.
Now, just so I understand, when they use the 2.0, podcastmirror.com takes your existing feed, turns it into a 2.0 compliant feed. You can add stuff in there, including a value block at the channel level. Do they then change automatically your podcast in the index to that feed so that the 2.0 apps will get the updated feed without having to, you know, put redirects and stuff like that or have two feeds basically in the index? Does that make sense what I'm asking?
Yeah, no, I think they do a redirect.
Oh, they do?
Here's what happens. I'm not sure. We'll have to get some clarification from Todd and Mike, because what happens with these sorts of services is that if you, let's say that you're on Libsyn and you're going to switch to, and you're going to use Podcast Mirror as your new feed URL so that you can get 2.0 tags. If you do a 301 on, or a 302 on your Libsyn feed, it redirects to your Podcast Mirror feed, right, which redirects back to your Libsyn feed. Because the podcast mirror feed is trying to get the Libsyn feed so that it can do its, so that it can pull the content. Mm-hmm. But if Podcast Mirror is trying, hits a 301 every time it requests the Libsyn feed back, trying to get it back to itself, it can't ever get the original feed. So you can't do, I don't think you can do a 301 or a 302 on the original Libsyn feed in that scenario, because it messes up the mirror service.
That means that someone
essentially have a loop,
but that means that someone has to then have a duplicate feed in the index, one that is their old Libsyn, and then one that is in this example, and then one that is their Podcast Mirror feed. Correct.
Well, they don't have to have a. They would end up initially with a duplicate, but they would should resolve once they change it in sort of like these dashboards, like their Apple Podcast dashboard and stuff like that.
Right, right. But we don't have a dashboard for the index. So then they will wind up ultimately with two. So that's a dupe, but it's a dupe with one upgraded feed and one quote unquote deprecated free feed.
Yes. Yes.
So should it be something that we offer to a service like Podcast Mirror that they can then talk to the API and say, hey, deprecate this one. This is the mirror one. Is that something that we should consider doing?
This is hard because, you know, here's the issue. If we had a sort of green field expectation for what the index was supposed to be, like if we didn't care about what literally anybody else was doing, we could afford to be super aggressive with deduplication. Like when I say super aggressive, I mean automate it like a fiend, you know? And so then we would take every redirect and update it. Every point, essentially every pointer from an old feed to a new feed, we would follow that thread and update the feed URL. But we can't be that aggressive because we also exist to service and maintain compatibility with apps that do use Apple as their main directory.
Uh-huh.
So we function in the role of fallback for things like Overcast.
Right. But having the 2.0 feeds won't break those apps.
No, it won't, but we can't automatically follow redirects because sometimes what happens is the redirect says go here and Apple Podcasts they have not changed it. So Apple Podcasts has the old URL, even though that URL is a redirect.
Okay. So then when the fallback happens, they won't be able to find what they're looking
it's
for.
It's the wrong feed URL.
Here's why I'm bringing this up. Maybe that'll be easier. I'm seeing, as is typical, when there's a hunger for something, I'm seeing these, I mean, pod fans, Sam Sethi's, I'm not quite sure exactly what he's doing, but it looks like he's building a Podcast Mirror type service. He's ingesting feeds, and then since pod fans basically has every tag, everything that has ever existed in the universe. What he's saying to me, and we got a nice update email from him today. What he's saying is that he will make that exportable so you can then, so basically it's a Podcast Mirror service. And I just heard, forgot his name again.
Brendan.
I just heard Brendan. I think I heard him say that whether he's considering or it's a done deal, he also wants to offer podcast mirroring service so that you can then add those feeds and then, or add those items and then output that feed to somewhere else. It just seems like there's a desire to have 2.0 features that is going much faster than the hosting companies can or will do.
Which features was he talking about specifically?
But I think it was like, I don't really remember, but I'll have to go back and listen. But I wrote it down because like, oh, that's interesting. Cause I'm seeing we have podcastmirror.com. We have pod fans, you know, Sam is either doing this already or is saying he's going to do it. and mm-hmm. then whatever Brendan was doing. It just seems like there's, you know, people are moving fast and the legacy hosting companies are not keeping up, which is okay. But I just want to identify it because people want this so badly, apparently, whether it's just the apps or their customers want it, I'm not sure, but they're creating uh-huh. these, which not really is, I don't think, I mean, it works and it's great, but it's not really the right way to do it.
Well, that brings up a larger discussion about just in general, how do we know which podcasts go with which URLs? Like there's right. this is just the problem within podcasting. And it always has been, is like you have two sort of independent, like identities for what the podcast is. So when people talk about a podcast, they talk about, you know, what I want to go do is listen to No Agenda. So there's this sort of existence of this thing that's called No Agenda. That's a podcast, but then that thing has to live somewhere and they don't know. It's like talking about Twitter versus Twitter.com, like, or X versus Twitter.com. Like is it, you have X, the service, and that's where I want to go. But is it at X.com? Is it at Twitter.com?
Right.
Right. And so then there's been this disconnect forever within podcasting. The long-term solution that we came up with was these GUID references where it's a born, you know, once the podcast is born, these GUIDs follow it everywhere, but then somebody has to aggregate that somewhere and we're doing it. But there's still this sort of like gap between like how do I take a podcast and then find out where the podcast feed is. Mm. And that's not as straightforward of an answer as it ought to be.
Right.
I mean, because Apple stuff is a mess. You know, we get criticized for duplicates and rightly so. I mean, every directory has this struggle to some extent, but if you look at Apple stuff, they're an absolute mess too. I mean, they've got so much just bad data there of feed URLs that don't exist anymore and stuff. Then, you know, multiple podcasts with the same URL. This is just generally speaking, this is a complex problem.
Yeah.
That has always existed within podcasting. And I'm not exactly sure how to fix it.
I guess maybe what I should be saying is none of these mirroring things are a good idea. I mean, get a native host or get your, if you want a certain feature. I mean, I'm just seeing these apps mature. So now I'm very excited about, you know, what I'm seeing. I don't really do beta apps anymore. I don't have the time for it. You get me something in production, I have pretty much all of them. I'll use it and I can say, oh, I found something. I know it would be better if I was doing that in beta. But I'm very excited to see what Podverse is going to do with music. I saw Oscar that, you know, he's optimizing. There's all kinds of old code and stuff. So hopefully that'll make stuff faster. I see what Jason is doing with Podcast Guru. There's a lot of development, a lot of streamlining, a lot of cleaning up, and these apps are getting better. They really are. They're becoming good ass apps.
I'm going to disagree a little bit on the idea that you like not to use the mirror services. I kind of think that that's a cool idea because then it's an indirection. Like you can change hosts 100 times and you never have to actually update any directories.
Right. Until, you know, what help with the danger is until someone decides, well, I'm done with this mirroring service. I'm tired of it. I'm pulling the plug. And then you're really up Schitt's Creek.
I would say, to mitigate against that, choose carefully.
Well,
choose a company that's been around a long time.
Like Google. I mean, we all did that with Google and we used the, what's the service? Everyone,
Feedburner.
Yeah. They bought Feedburner. And then they kind of let it die and they resurrected it a bit. And it's scary. Mm. It's, you know, Andrew Horowitz, who wants to be on 2.0, he can't bring himself to find the time to figure out how to actually get off of Feedburner.
So we have the, you know, we bought this domain a long time ago called moveyourpodcast.com.
Really? I don't remember this.
We own that. It was just a lark. I just had an idea, like maybe one day this would be helpful. And I would love to have a service that it lives at moveyourpodcast.com where you can say, it's just a self-service dashboard where you can say, look, I'm going to move from Libsyn to Buzzsprout. And here's my feed. Here's my feed at Libsyn. Here's my feed at Buzzsprout. And then all this thing does is takes the GUID, produces an update that other directories can ingest once it verifies that the podcast has moved.
Which we do with the email address in your feed. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, not anymore. But then, like, just basically a simple service that helps everybody make sense out of the chaos of moving. And I don't know. It was just
sounds like a great. That's why we still have the domain name and nothing's happened with it. It's a great idea. We're not gonna. We can't even get a monitor for our own API set up. I'm busy.
No, we've got one.
Oh, we do.
Yeah.
You ask and it appeared.
Yep, that's how it goes.
Who did it?
Archie. Who's the part-time sysadmin for Podverse and Mitch's crew.
Oh, really? Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
He had some monitoring set up using Uptime Kuma that.
Right. I have that on my, I think on my Start 9 even, I have that thing. I've never used it.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he had a system set up for Podverse, and he's like, hey, you want me to add a couple API calls to this just to check yours? Stuff at the same time. I was like, yeah, sure. So he added it in there and then set it up to email an alert if something goes down. We're good to go.
Wow, excellent. Okay. I take it back. I guess where we should be going is, you know, there was a Sam Sethi suggested a 2.0 badge, and which of course always devolves into the, well, it can't say certified because there's no such thing and blah, 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 blah. I would like to recommend to the apps, you know, you got to learn how to do a little bit of marketing. You know, making an app is one thing. Your number one marketer is the podcast hosts, podcasters. Podcasters market your stuff. I am very careful to always promote podcastapps.com. I often recommend a podcast app on No Agenda. I know it works because Mitch has seen the increase. I've been doing it recently with a podcast guru, just kind of rotating thing. But a podcast app, guys, you know, reach out to a podcaster and, you know, consider having a featured tab or something where, you know, it doesn't have to be a democracy. You're allowed to do commerce. You know, I think and I even told an artist, I said, hey, you know, if these apps are now starting to do music, why don't you talk to some of these apps and say, can I get a featured position somewhere? And what kind of value would you like for that in exchange? Maybe a piece of a value block. I mean, there's this kind of even Steven, Honest Abe type vibe that has existed in podcasting, which of course, you know, the big guys don't do that. They don't give a crap. You know, Spotify will highlight their own stuff. It's time to start thinking that way. You know, it's like, hey, if you're gonna feature this podcast, have that podcast talk about your app. That is the most powerful way to get people to use new apps. I don't think badges on websites have that much of an impact. There's already a lot of stuff going on, a lot of flashy, colory stuff. But when you're listening to a podcast and that host says, hey, could you please use a modern podcast app? And here's why. And the number one reason I give is, I always say in conjunction with, you get an alert when we go live and the app will update within 90 seconds of me publishing. So instead of waiting on Apple or Spotify and waiting an hour and a half or whenever, maybe it doesn't update for a day, things happen, you'll get an immediate notification. That kind of stuff. And then I'll say, you know, hey, these, because we always have new album art. And said, if you want to see all of them, just get a modern podcast app, look at the chapters, and you'll see it flipping by while you're driving in the car, distracting you continuously. These are great ways to get your app promoted and to promote 2.0.
So this is a pretty interesting discussion, because if you think about what an app would need in order to sort of jump on the scene, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
The things that come to mind are Live.
Yep.
Podping.
Which we just call 90-second update. I mean, no one will understand the term podping, but yeah, quick update.
Right. Like, if you jump on board with those two things,
and value for value. I mean, that's another big one.
Value for value. There's like a few of these little things. And I think it kind of starts with Live, honestly, because if you think about the podcasters that would do Live, they're usually really hardcore and willing. They're hardcore, they're technical, and they're willing to, what they want is for people to listen to them live. If you have a live podcaster, okay, that's what I'm trying to think of. So you're looking for a synergy between what you want as an app developer and what the podcaster wants as a podcaster. And if you can find where the synergy is, like Live is a perfect example, because a podcaster who does a live stream, they really want people to listen to them live. It's important. I want it. We do this live show and I want lots of people listening, because it gives a lot of energy to the show and makes you, gives you a lot of feedback. Right, makes you feel good.
But it's still a limited number of I agree with you. I'm just saying, much from a much broader perspective, any podcast can talk about some of the other features, some of the other benefits of using a 2.0 app. And
right. Oscar with Fountain, he found his synergy.
He totally found it. Yep, exactly. He found his synergy. Initially, that's what. You see, the thing is, Podverse started initially, I think, because it was the wasn't that Clips? Wasn't that what Mitch wanted initially? Was, you know, he wanted an app that did better clipping.
Yes,
if I'm not mistaken. Right. So that's great. But you need to get the podcasters talking about your app. That's the thing. That's how we move this forward.
Mm-hmm.
Podcasters have to be telling their audiences, try this. And we're at a point now where there's enough robustness in these apps that people aren't disappointed. Because in the beginning, it was definitely like, well, you know, I miss my time, three times speed. I miss, you know, this. I miss that. There's still people who miss, you know, certain, or they won't leave an app. Some people won't leave an app because it does volume boost, you know, stuff like that. It's very
sleep timers.
Yeah. Stuff like that is really important. Now, they're usually the most vocal. I don't think they're, you know, that all people think that way. Most people are just like, I'm fine with my Apple app. It works. So then find those things that your app is particularly good at. And, you know, so Podverse works great with alerts and it's updated very quickly through the Podping mechanism. But then reach out to podcast hosts, reach out to the podcasters and say, hey, I'll give you a feature if you mention my app. I mean, this is the kind of stuff we need to be thinking about.
Yeah. Build to what somebody wants.
Mm-hmm.
Like find out so if you're a podcast app, find a set of podcasters that want a certain thing. Build your app feature to the thing that they are wanting, and then you have a built-in advertising.
Yeah,
and it's the same way with podcasts. And I think it's easier to do that than it is to do it with podcast listeners. Because, like you said, the podcast listeners, the ones that are really vocal about certain features, they're usually not representative of the masses.
People will go to the end of the earth to do something their favorite podcaster asked them to do. They buy stupid products they don't even need because the podcaster says, hey, buy this product. Here's my code.
Yeah.
So when someone says, try out this app, I really like it. And I like it because, hey, I'm featured. Even if it's just that, I'm featured this month. Tell a friend, etc. the podcaster has the power, and the apps have always tried to go to the listener. You know, it's like, well, those are my users. Yeah, they're your users, but they're really only complainers. They're only going to tell you it sucks. That's the main reason you get. But asking the podcasters themselves and do a business deal. You know, no money has to change hands, but it can be a great way to give the podcaster a benefit of being featured or whatever it is.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, because you just have to find, you have to put a rock in somebody's shoe.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and the way you do that is you find your gap. You find that gap and you meet a need. And then also when you're meeting a need that's clear and sort of that you can see, it's easier to build a feature. If you just build a feature sort of like in a clean room for where you don't have an actual live real world example of the thing you're trying to solve, sometimes it gets muddy, you know, and you're not actually solving it in the way that you don't have enough feedback. You just don't, you don't have enough feedback from the people you're trying to solve the problem for, because there's not any.
It's like, yeah, exactly.
You're just writing to a spec. You're not actually writing to solve a problem.
Yes. It's like this, Ainsley Costello Just Loud concert in Minneapolis that's coming up. That's going to be lit, which will be built on the work that, I think certainly Mitch did for the PodCon Mexico. You know, they're going to do it lit. It looks like that's going to happen. And everyone now, oh, wait a minute. So that's actually Podcasting 2.0 that's sending those Satoshis. Oh, okay. Yeah, we should probably talk to those guys. So finally, Dovidas, I think, is doing the RSS feed. And, you know, I'm not sure. It looks like it's all going to work out. And so that'll be a lit live show with streaming value for value. Believe me, what you want is you want Ainsley Costello out there promoting the apps that will work.
Yes.
So reach out. It's not hard to find her manager. It's not hard to find and get in touch with Julie and say, hey, we're going to be featuring this. We're going to be showing it live. Please have Ainsley talk, and they also need to do their work and not be just like, oh yeah, it's going to be a streaming. No, here's the podcast apps that is guaranteed going to work on, because those apps are dedicated to making it work.
Yeah, you can see the apps and hosting companies that have sort of a real purpose that they're trying to solve, because they have a real clear path forward in front of them.
Yes, they do.
They identify a thing and then they build something that solves that problem.
Yes, and I'm excited. I'm excited to see, native 2.0, and I'm going to add Blueberry in there with the native 2.0 hosting companies. They get it. They're building something new, and this is where the artists are going to go. And I'm telling you, Wavelake has got to fix their Boostagram stuff, because it may be easy, but people hear about stuff and they're like, how come I'm not seeing Boostagrams? How come I can't do this? How come I can't do that?
So when you say fix their Boostagram stuff, you're talking about the fact that Wavelake artists can't see their messages.
Well, interestingly enough, I found out that if you go to the artist's page, you will see Boostagrams coming through as comments identified as key send 0 sats. So the Boostagram comes through. Oh yeah.
Yeah. What does that mean?
Well, that means that they're showing the Boostagram as a comment. So they've made the connection. And so it's a public comment, which is great. But then it shows 0 sats. It literally says 0 sats. And it says from KeySend, where it could say, this is the podcast. And I'm not going to accuse anything, but, it looks like obfuscation. It's like, why don't you just add the field? It came from this podcast link or this episode link. And here's the number of sats. It doesn't seem like that's a lot of extra work if you're already bringing through the Boostagram.
So it's odd to me that it wouldn't show the total that came, like,
because they've chosen not to, I think. But that seems like a choice. And it looks dumb.
Or a bug.
No, it could be. Okay, it could be a bug. But you're already pointing in there from Keysend. You're already taking the Boostagram TLV. Why not just put in there? It came. I mean, are we so horrified to say that it comes from a podcast? Or is it just, you know, no time? I don't understand it. And that's half the fun. So now I'm on Boostagram Ball saying, please, in your message, put the amount of Satoshis you sent and tell them where this was from, that this was from Boostagram Ball episode 15. I shouldn't have to do that.
That's odd. If Michael or Sam, if you don't mind, shoot me a message. Tell me what that's about. Because I can think you could say that, well, I don't trust the SAT total that's in the TLV because that can be manipulated. But then the invoice itself should be settled, and that's not manipulatable.
Another big thing is the actual, and this is very clear, even in valueforvalue.info, a big part of value for value is the numerology of it. So right. When sending you 333-7777, 1948, 6969, I mean, I can go on and on. It's a big part of the fun. It's you're robbing people of joy.
You're killing their roosters.
Now, I can understand that they don't want to confuse people because they take their 10%, but I mean, how confusing is it? It's like, okay, I see what came in. I just have to subtract 10% in my head. That's fine. I don't think people would be mad about that. But, you know, when I hear that Michael, the guy from, I think it's First Avenue, Avenue 1, First Avenue, I think the venue in Minneapolis, you know, he was at Nostrasia saying, yeah, no, I'm working with Adam Curry and those guys. We can get the live stream up. And then I see the using Zap streams, which has nothing to do with what we're talking about. And I see big shows getting, you know, 200 sats streaming with two people watching. I'm like, not well, you know, maybe you want to. And he just didn't know. People don't know what they don't know. They don't know. And when we're onboarding people and they don't know that, hey, this is how the system is working, which should be, everybody should be happy about it. Just feels weird.
Yeah. It feels weird. It feels weird to show zero. Like,
yeah,
just don't show it at all. I mean, just say that it's a comment. Like, I don't know. It's just, I don't know.
It's weird. Yeah, it's weird. Let me see if I can get. So Joe Martin, I can give it. And I, you know, Joe Martin, people just don't know. He did this hour long interview and podcasting wasn't mentioned once. And I think that he's the first song we played and sent him hundreds of thousands of sats. Well, I should say Dreb Scott did. And I'm like, well, does he just not know where it's coming from?
Yeah. I don't know.
Here, via Keysend Pod. Oh, this is Podfans even worse. Podfans payment doesn't even have a name. And now,
well, that's a Podfans payment. That's. Is that a Boostagram or is that just a stream?
Who knows? Here, via Keysend. It's like, it's no, and wow, that must be a stream somehow. That's probably Sam sending streams as boosts. Who knows? It's very confusing. It's very confusing.
Okay, so Zaps show via Zap, and I guess, I guess podcast boosts would say via Keysend.
Yeah, actually, it looks like they've dropped the zero sats thing now.
Oh, okay.
I guess they've dropped that.
Let's see. Unlucky. Via Zap, via Keysend, via Zap. Okay, so that's just telling you where it came from, but it's not showing you the app.
Yeah, or the app, or the show, or the episode.
Yeah. So that stuff's in there. I would say that a good thing to do for these guys is for Michael and Sam is to pull that out of the TLV. I mean, show. I don't know how Nostr zapping works. I don't understand. I think there would be a disconnect. Maybe you can't tell the originating app. So if you're in Domus and you zap, the zap is actually coming from your
from your wallet, or
something like that. Yeah, it kicks you over there to actually do the thing. So maybe. Maybe you lose that information, but at the TLV and the
it's got so much key sound record. Yeah,
we should
take it. If you pull out the boostergram, then you're seeing the key sound record.
Yeah, I would love for that. I would love to see that thing say instead of via key sound, say via Podverse or via Podcast Guru or Fountain. Yeah.
Well, how about the podcast?
Yeah, that's
the episode that it's from. I mean, that would really help. I mean, I understand you would like the app. I'd like someone to say, "Oh, that's from Boostergram Bowl. What is that?" Oh, what is that thing?
Toxic via Zap.
It's weird. It's weird.
Mm. Yeah. Let's see. Pirate Radio Descent. I was just looking through here and see.
Yeah, it's, I haven't looked at something's changed. Yeah. Yeah, something's changed. I don't see the. So maybe they're working on it. It's possible.
Via Keysend. It's so much of this. Yeah, the Podfans payment.
This was pretty funny.
That's from 11/16, so that's recent.
Yeah,
that's fairly recent. So that's got to. I bet you that's their streaming payment.
Thing. Could be. I don't know. I don't know.
Speaking of this sort of native podcasting 2.0 hosting related issues, I've got the first pod roll product. Ingestion product ready to roll.
Yes. So
if you go to
here we go.
https://. public.podcastindex.org.
Okay, hold on.
/recommendations.json.
Hold on a second.
Yes.
Hold on.
Holding. Hold. Okay. I'm holding.
What public.podcastindex.org. Yes. Yeah.
/public.podcastindex.org/recommendations.
Recommendations.
.json.
Ooh, .json.
Okay. .json.
Okay. Yes. What do I get? Do I get a big JSON file? Let's see. It's crunching. Oh, it has popularity score. Ooh, what is this?
Yes.
Ooh. So this,
let me get down through the mix here.
Oh, it's quite large, this file.
Very large.
Yes.
This is a list of all of the shows that have appeared in a pod roll.
Oh.
So if somebody put their pod roll, if somebody put a pod roll in their feed, we're aggregating all that. And then sorting it in descending order by popularity, which that popularity number
is number of times it appears in a pod roll.
Yes, the number of pod rolls it has appeared in.
Oh, that's a good way to game the system.
It is. It is.
So, I like that.
Let me run down the properties here. So you got popularity, which is what we just described. You have the feed ID, which is the podcast index feed ID of this feed that was recommended. You've got the GUID of the feed, which is recommended. You've got the title of that feed, the URL, the feed URL. You've got the artwork or the album art for the feed. Then you have source feed ID and source feed URL. So that's the podcast index ID.
Where it came from.
That had the pod role in it. Yeah. And then the URL of that feed, which was the source of this recommendation. Then you have recommended host and recommender host. So
interesting.
Recommended host is the top level domain, or it's not TLD. It's the domain of the hosting platform where this recommended feed lives.
And then the recommender host is the host that has the feed that has the recommendation. I would say popularity is probably a misnomer.
What should that be, like hits or something?
Instances. I mean, popularity doesn't mean that, oh, this is a popular show. This means that someone just put this in lots of pod rolls, which could be
maybe
appearances. Yeah. Cause I mean, I have four feeds and I could put it in all of my feeds and then I'd have four, which right. doesn't make it more popular. Just makes me a douche.
You're so hard on yourself. So the reason that the reason that I put recommended host and recommender host in there is because immediately I see a bunch of things from this thing called Vigilante TV, which I don't even know what that is.
Yes.
It sounds like it may be sketchy. I don't know. Anything called Vigilante something? I'm not sure about that. So
interesting.
If I put this in here, you can immediately filter out things that you don't want. So
yes.
that could be something.
Yes. That's a good idea. Right.
So if stuff comes in here from pod rolls from sexytimes.fm or something like that, and you're writing a podcast app for kids. Mm-hmm. Probably don't want that in your pod rolls.
You don't want that. That's a great idea. Let's see. What is the Dollar Vigilante? Dollar Vigilante, I think, that's very well known.
Is it? I have no idea what this even is. Vigilante.tv, is that it?
Yeah. I'm looking at the feed. It's
PeerTube instance is what it is.
Hmm.
Crypto 101, my most important video.
Andrew, Ron Paul. Instead of a popularity count was what Pfeiffer suggested, which I think is probably better. Count.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can do that. Yeah, I'll change better. That.
Yeah.
So this will grow. We're at roughly 500 recommended feeds at this point in the database.
Now, is that great. Enough for the cutoff so we don't remove the tag from the namespace? Is that enough?
I don't know. I don't know. I expect this to morph over time as we learn more about the behavior of what is going on in these pod roles.
Right.
But immediately, I think people can use this updates every hour.
Mm-hmm.
This JSON list, so people can immediately, and it's not behind any sort of API, so you can just grab it as public.
Yeah, just pop it. Yep.
Yep. Pull it in, and then you can immediately know what is being recommended. You can filter it out if you just don't. If she's like, okay, well, I only want to know. Look, we'll see. Scroll down all the way to the bottom. Let's see here. This is a good example. So, Make It British podcast that was recommended by somebody by a feed hosted on Buzzsprout, and the feed that was recommended, this Make It British podcast, lives on Captivate.
Oh, cool!
So here's a good, you may say, okay, well, I want to, for my slice and dice top list, I want to start with, just the subset of well-known hosting companies or something. And then I'll sort of branch out from there. I think you can slice and dice this a bunch of ways.
This is pretty cool. This is actually very cool. And I look forward to seeing apps implementing this. This is nice.
Is it gameable to get on this list? Sure. But then that's not...
Well, as I said, the only reason I said that is because I saw popularity and the first thing that popped in my head was, oh, gameable, but it doesn't really matter. There's nothing to game. There's no win.
Yeah.
There's
no
win. Yeah. It's just, what do people do with this? And I think the most interesting thing is, of course, surfacing other podcasts that I want people to see on, in an app, on Podpage. I'm sure Podpage will do something with that. It's a great tag. I really love this tag.
Look, here, it's interesting. Tom Woods, his podcast is recommended in one of these Vigilante feeds. Now, this Vigilante thing, how is this working? Because their feeds must have pod rolls in them.
They do. I'm looking at the feed right now.
But this is PeerTube.
Is it?
I don't. Yeah, I think this is a PeerTube.
It's vigilante.tv/podcast/videos.xml.
Source feed URL. I'm just going to pick this one.
And it looks like they have a, you know, they're declaring the namespace. It looks good. Mm-hmm. What's the generator? Hive Tube. Mm-hmm.
What is that?
I don't know. Hive Tube. That's the generator. I just read the feed, man. Let me see what Hive Tube is. Hive Tube. The Hive Tube plugin monetizes any streaming media censorship free P2P via the Hive blockchain. I smell Brian of London.
I smell a Jew.
All right. Let's
see. Who knows? I guess Brian did this in all of his spare time.
Might be. Yeah, might be.
Or, I mean, he'll tell us who did if it wasn't him. Yeah. But Podroll is just such a new tag. I was surprised that would exist.
Yeah. Well, and it's all in here. I'm waiting for a Sovereign feed. I know Stephen Bell is real busy doing all kinds of stuff. It's on the list. So I'm looking forward to implementing it. Because I got some feeds I want to point toward.
Yeah, a lot of Buzzsprout in here. BTunes.tv. What is that? What's BTunes? BEETunes.tv.
BTunes.
Is that also Hive Tube or
B-E-E
whatever?
BEE- or just B?
BEETONS.tv.
BTunes. Okay.
BTunes.tv.
I don't see that showing up.
No, I'm on it. It's another.
Another Hive instance. Thing? Another Hive thing?
Well, I don't know.
What's the generator?
Trying to find it. Source feed URL. You know, I have the generator. I have that in the database. I should have just put that in here.
BTunes. I'll bet you that's also a Hive thing.
Are these? It's interesting that happened because the last PeerTube work with RSS that I know of was all Alex, and I know he's not doing Hive stuff. Yeah, yes, Hive Tube again.
It's Hive Tube. Yeah. All right.
There must be some fork of PeerTube that's all about Hive.
Interesting.
Okay. Well, cool.
Well, this is nice. Okay. I like it. I like it. Another thing everyone needs to implement.
Yeah.
Quick.
Go.
Are you ready? Go. Implement. One other thing you and I talked about just briefly, there was, it's unclear. It seems like power users had a problem with GetAlbi. Boomi sent me a note about that.
Resolved, right?
It resolved, absolutely.
Okay.
But I just want to remind everybody that having other options is not a bad idea. It's not a bad idea. Having fallback or just making sure you're always out there looking. There's a lot of development in, and I'm not trying to move anyone away from GetAlbi, but it's good to, I mean, here's something that just happened. I believe Nostr is fairly reliant on Wallet of Satoshi. A lot of people use Wallet of Satoshi. And
when you say reliant, can you tell me what you mean by that?
That means that the users are using Wallet of Satoshi for zaps.
I think most instances.
Yeah, because it's easy to onboard, it's custodial, it's good to go. And okay. Wallet of Satoshi just took themselves out of the U.S. app stores.
Really?
Yeah. They're a little sketchy as to why. They're like, you should know why. Like, no, I don't really know why. I think because they're a money service provider. They're not a standalone wallet. That seems pretty clear to me.
Did they take themselves out immediately after the Binance
thing? I think the timing is... seems kind of obvious to me.
Yeah. If they pulled right after that, that must have spooked them.
And rightly so. I mean, so what did Binance get popped for money laundering, you know, illegal transactions? Yeah, I can see why they're worried about that. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, me too.
So there's is that Greenlight thing, is the Breeze SDK, does that Is that all non-custodial? Is that working? Is that, does it do key send? I mean, is this stuff up and running?
I don't know. Let's get Roy back on the show so we can get an update.
That would be good. Yeah. Like, yes, I'd love to just have a light. I mean, I know that he basically is keeping the Breeze app alive as a, he's put money into it. People working on it to upgrade with value time splits for the wallet switching technology, which I really appreciate. But he was even thinking, well, you know, we're kind of doing our job now as a Lightning service provider. So we're just keeping that alive as an example of, and I'm like, you can't shut that down. That's my actual wallet. That's the wallet I use for transactions. You know, I'm going to buy $500 worth of beef. I'm doing it through Breeze because I trust it. You know, I trust the back end, the service provider piece. And I think they may even be, offering some services to get Albi. I'm not sure, but I think that, you know, this is the state of the Lightning Network. Would be a good idea to have Roy back on just to see where we're at, see what's going on. Just relying on any one solution, not a problem. It's easy. And everyone's like, okay, I've solved that. Just enter your credentials here and it all works. But I think we need to continuously be on the lookout for backups or better things and I'm sure the Get Albi guys are, and maybe we should have them on as well. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. It wouldn't be bad to have Moritz and just have them on and talk about what's going on. Cause it stuff is scaling now and we're going to, and it's working. Mm-hmm. You know, we get a report every day and I'm always blown away by how many transactions there are.
Yeah, there's a lot.
And I mean, we're like 100,000 transactions a day that we're seeing minimum on just a regular day, right?
Let me pull up yesterday's thing.
I think it's about 100. I mean, yeah, I think a good day. I'm not talking about number of sats. I'm talking about number of transactions.
Right. Yeah, because that's really all we look at. The sats totals are still low relatively speaking. I mean, if it's on a random Wednesday, you know.
No, Wednesdays is just very, that's the worst day of the week.
Yeah, there's nothing going on.
Definitely the worst day of the week.
Let's see. Daily report, transactions for transactions for yesterday. No, there's 8,098.
How many?
8,098.
Well, that's probably not a good day to look at, Dave. That's a Thanksgiving day in America.
Oh yeah, well you're right about that. Let me see.
Do we have? Let me see what I have. Report. I usually delete
Thunderbird,
these.
Which I can't ever find where the folders are.
Let me see what we get from today. The one we got from today. No, that's not what I'm looking for.
Oh, here it is. Daily reports. Let me go over here. Let's go to last week because
that's a better week.
Yeah.
November 21st, key send. Yeah. Total. I'm sorry. I was thinking of sats. Yeah. Transactions, 8,669.
You're right. Last Thursday was 9,784.
That's right. It's like 10,000 on a good day. Yeah. Yes. So last Saturday was almost 10,500. Yeah, that's the transaction, 10,000 a day that we're seeing.
Right.
That we're seeing. And it's interesting to see, because if you look at the SAT total, the number one transacting app does not necessarily have the most value flow, the highest amount of value. So I can see just a random day, Friday the 24th, I can see Fountain had, oh my God, that's pretty funny. Fountain had 700 times the transactions that Podverse had, but Podverse sent 10 times the value.
Yeah, right.
Isn't that cool? And you can see different kinds of use. Castomatic users, I always see Castomatic users send high value. Fountain is always high transaction, low value. I'm always amazed that Sphinx is in there. I don't know what they're doing in there.
99 transactions. It's not.
It's alive. It's alive.
Yeah. Splitkit, Ellen Beats, Podcast Guru, CurioCaster, PodFans, Breeze. I mean, Breeze, 166 transactions. I mean, it's is always a good mix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, what was the point of saying that?
Well, I just think that we get Roy on and ask him about where the green light service stands, because what I can see is that green light could be a very good. I can see the integration in the app in my head, and I need a chance to explain it to him and see if I'm understanding this properly.
Okay.
Because if it's right, then you could say, okay, well, if I want a wallet in my podcast guru, then podcast guru just calls out green light, spins up a wallet and gives me my keys and done.
Right. And this exactly. And then those are your keys and it's your dough and you're responsible for it.
And there's no custodian there, except, you know, there's infrastructure custodian, but not a financial custodian.
Yes. And I think there's going to be reasons to look at stuff like that in the near future.
If things are starting to disappear off app stores, then yeah, that's a reason.
Yeah. Well, they took it off themselves. I was like, oh, that's interesting. Anyway, so the point being that, you know, that kind of hurts the simple. So they had a simple solution. It's easy to onboard people with Nostr. Get the wallet of Satoshi. Okay, great. I'm good. And people are zapping me. It works. Now you can't just get the wallet of Satoshi. I'm sure that the app, you know, I'm sure it doesn't disappear from your phone if you already have it, but maybe you probably won't be able to load it on your new phone or whatever. You know, so these things are worth considering. That's a shame. Yeah. Yeah. It's a real shame, but it's custodial services. I mean, we've seen all kinds of blips and burps and glitches from a Fountain has it from time to time. I mean, this stuff at scale is hard. You know, that's the same as, you know, it's like an index. It's hard. It's not an easy thing to do.
Well, that's why everybody switch. And by the way, we're gonna start the process of shutting down our LMP node. So that's but there's been zero transactions over the last 30 days. There never was many anyway, but there's, we were keeping some stuff alive for legacy purposes, and that seems to have all dried up.
Yeah. And look how long it took though. The transition from everyone using LMPay to, get Albi. And when I say everyone, I mean the app developers. Yeah. A year.
So that we're going to close that down. But see, that's why everybody left LMPay anyway, is because in an LMPay situation, the app had to hold the keys.
Yeah.
And so then that puts the app, the podcast app, as a custodian. Whereas with Albi, the Albi is the custodian and the user has their credentials. And so the app is just shuffling OAuth tokens around. There's no, they don't know. The app has no idea how, like, it can't access their funds, the developer. So there's no custodianship there. So it's safer for the app to do something like that. And I think if you go sort of one step further and look at, you know, Greenlight, which I bet Albi is doing, they're probably doing that too.
I would hope so. Yeah. I would hope so.
Then you take even the last mile out of it and say, okay, well now it's not even,
how about this?
Not even a custodian at all.
How about this? Why don't we have the Get Albi guys on? I mean, we can have Roy on, but why don't we have the Get Albi guys and ask them what the plan is?
Okay.
Cause they're the clear guys that are doing it, you know, and I love them for it. I mean, I'm sure they have thoughts about it. I'm sure they're not sitting around going, this is great. This is fine with the fire flames everywhere. I'm sure they have thoughts about this, and you know, they're in the EU. So that has different, connotations. You know, boy, have you ever seen Fifi Lagarde over there, who runs the European Central Bank? You know, she's no fan of the stuff we're doing.
No, not a big fan.
Do you see this? She's now going around. She's doing this. She's shilling for the digital euro, the central bank digital currency, which is a true CBDC. And she's going around saying, crypto is no good. You know, my son didn't listen to me. He lost almost all of his crypto investments.
What crypto investments did he? I bet there was no details.
No, of course not. She's conflating things purposefully.
But what about the digital euro? Wasn't that supposed to come out in October?
No, in October she announced that they were moving forward. She said in October we'll announce our plans. They're moving forward. They've all agreed. Somewhere they had some agreement. Yeah, good to go. And now she's out there marketing the idea that it'll be completely. We won't sell your information to other companies. No, yeah. The government will have it.
Yeah, sure.
Groovy. Right. Groovy.
Cool. Yeah, that's what we want.
Good. I wonder if there's a video of her saying that. She's such a tool, man. She is such a tool.
Let's see. Lagarde, Sun, Crypto. ECB Chief Lagarde admits her son lost crypto cash. What is crypto cash?
Crypto cash?
What is
that? Is there a video? Do you have a video of it?
I was looking. I don't see
crypto cash.
This is stupid. Says her son lost almost all money he invested in crypto.
Yeah.
Cotton Gin said it was FTX. I don't know.
Well, maybe. I'm sure. It's irrelevant, really. But what I think is happening, I think what we're seeing happening now in the markets is everything's, look, they didn't put Binance out of business. They could have shut that thing down easily. They didn't.
Right.
This was a warning. Like, okay, you got to play ball with us because they want, I think what will happen is everything will go away. Everything will be outlawed. Bitcoin and I would expect Ethereum will become tradable on the established public markets, either through an ETF or whatever. There will be approved companies. They already have them. They already have an approved exchange that, you know, some Goldman Sachs or some, you know, Wall Street insider thing that no one's ever heard of. It's just sitting there getting ready to trade so you can buy and sell. And everything else will be outlawed. They're going to, you know, they'll do, oh no, nothing. And I don't, and of course, please, if you're an XRP guy, no, don't email me. I'm not interested.
Yeah, right.
I know XRP is great. That's the future. It's all going to run through XRP, I'm sure.
Yeah, web monetization. It'll be good.
Web 3.
I think in general, we're seeing a lot of, I think the OpenAI stuff is related to this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, totally.
Shuffling the deck.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're seeing, because the thing is, nobody's making, there's no clear next step for any of this stuff.
Oh, well, but I figured out the OpenAI stuff. I figured out OpenAI. Now I understand what's going on. This is, well, surprise, it's a scam. And the reason why Sam Altman is back at OpenAI is because that's the shim. We discussed this on No Agenda. That's the shim. That is the piece in the middle that when the lawsuits come, they don't sue Microsoft. And Microsoft, what they're doing, and I know because I have, you're gonna see the sales guys come into your shop, Dave, but they haven't already. We have this great new AI technology here at Microsoft, and it works with Teams, it works with Office. So now when you have a team meeting, it does a transcript, and then the transcript will create, the AI will create action items. Those action items are automatically put onto your calendar. And what you really want, though, is you really want to use our AI tools, to create your own large language model, which uses Microsoft Azure's compute, which is quite expensive, but it'll be worth the $1 million you invest in creating your own large language model, because then you can have your own system and easily retrieve documents and information and business intelligence from within your own large language model. That's what Microsoft is in this for. They don't give a crap about, you know, how it's presented in some chat bot. They want you to use their compute services to create the LLM.
I agree. That's because that is already happening.
Mm-hmm.
They are already doing that.
They're selling that to you.
Yes. I was in a conference with my day job. I was in a conference not too long ago, and many people raised their hands when they were asking if they were running their own local copies of ChatGPT on Azure. And they were, then they are, that is a thing that people are doing. And the thing that the thing that get the OpenAI thing from my perspective, I think that they, got caught. I think Altman and Microsoft got caught trying to get out from under this thing, because I think what they realize internally is that this thing is a dog. It's not going to make any money.
Yeah.
But what they saw, what they see is they see who's the only person who's actually making money from this?
Microsoft.
No. Microsoft invested. They promised their aspect of this is that they promised OpenAI $10 billion worth of Azure credits.
Yes. Well, and let's can we just say $10 billion, is that retail? Is that special price? Best price? I mean, is it just $10 million worth or $1,000 worth, but they price it at $10 billion? Okay. I mean, irrelevant. We agree on that.
And what they got at, what Microsoft got out of it was the IP.
All of it.
The deal is basically they get access to all the IP. And if OpenAI ever goes under, they get it. I mean, they own it all. Microsoft.
Yeah. That's why the shim is still in place, because Altman did his job. He got the executive order, which is the path to regulation. Everyone's, it's so scary. You can only have the biggest companies in the world do this, really. Well, so we can't just have any Tom, Dick, and Harry doing this stuff. No, it has to be either Microsoft, Google, can't be anybody else, Amazon, AWS. So they got they're all protected. But if the lawsuit comes for copyright, that goes to OpenAI.
Well, the part that Microsoft is, I do not think they're making any money off the chat stuff.
No, right now. No, zero.
It's a call center for them.
Yeah.
What they saw was, if you look around the industry, the only person who's making tons of money off of AI is NVIDIA.
Yes. Yeah. And they're going to, and I
Did
heard
you see their earnings.
Yeah. Yeah. And Microsoft is planning on making their own chip now.
Yes. NVIDIA's earnings.
Yeah.
They were up like 300%.
They blew it out. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And Microsoft looks around and they're like, we want to get in the hardware business.
Yep.
And they, in the AI chip hardware business, and Sam Altman, according to reports, was making deals with the Saudis to do an AI hardware chip business.
Oh,
and it was compete with NVIDIA.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Oh, that's a good data point. I had not heard that.
I think internally, Microsoft working with Altman was getting ready to flip the switch from software to picks and shovels. Because NVIDIA is showing that the only people making money are the hardware people.
The hardware guys, right.
And they tried to get out from under this software dog that does not work. And they got, and then the board was so stupid. The board, like you said, it's like a cult.
Oh yeah.
They're so dumb. Yeah, like yeah. You don't know what they, in the college football world, everybody knows you never fire your current coach until you have the next guy already lined up, ready to walk to the podium and say, I take this job.
And here's your link. Cause that board literally grew up with the Sam Bankman-Fried people and the Alameda Research girl. They're all effective altruists, and that these are the people that do all the, AIs. By the way, AI eat the world. Oh, I should play this. We should play this. Hold on. Because you're a technologist. What is that that douchebag's name? The guy who was CEO for like 3 seconds.
CEO of OpenAI.
Yeah, the guy from Twitch. Yeah, what's his name? Shear.
Yeah, Shear. Yeah, Shear.
Here we go. Listen, you want to? So the board thought this guy would be the right guy. Listen to why he explains why AI is so dangerous, and I think he's talking about recursion, which results in nothing but your hardware locking up. But listen to this for a second.
Generally, I am very pro-technology, and I really believe the upsides usually outweigh the downsides. Everything technology can be misused. Regulating early is usually a mistake. I have a very specific concern about AI. We've built an intelligence. It's kind of amazing, actually. It may not be the smartest intelligence, but it is an intelligence. It can solve problems and make arbitrary plans. At some point, as it gets better, the kinds of problems it will be able to solve will include programming, chip design, material science, power production, all of the things you would need to design an artificial intelligence. At that point, you'll be able to point the thing we've built back at itself. And this will happen in before you get that point with humans in the loop. It already is happening with humans in the loop. But that loop will get tighter and tighter and tighter and faster and faster and faster until it can fully self-improve itself, at which point it will get very fast, very quickly. And that kind of intelligence is just an intrinsically very dangerous thing because intelligence is power.
Tell me what he's saying right there is bull crap.
It's complete idiocy. It's going to get quicker, faster.
No, but he says we're going to point it at itself and it's going to develop itself better. Isn't that the definition of recursion?
Yeah, it's called a model collapse.
Yeah, model collapse. Yes, there you go. Model collapse.
Well, in this conference that I went to, there was a presenter who was talking about how they had done these proof of concepts where they had written these reports. They had transferred these reports to be generated by AI, by the ChatGPT model. Mm. And so you could ask, you know, hey, look at all this data. Give me a report that shows such and such. And these were replacements for the reports that they had built with code. And so they were like, and you know, somebody raises their hand and they were like, well, how do you know? I mean, like, how do you know it's right? And they're like, well, you know, we check it initially against the reports, yeah, the old reports,
yeah, the old, yeah. And
until we become confident that it's producing the same thing. And they're like, well, how do you know that it doesn't drift and that it's always going to be right? And they're like, well,
we don't really.
There's some services that you can use.
Oh, really?
Check for model drift and
model drift. Those. That's a new one. I hadn't heard model drift. I like that.
And I'm like, no, you're going to produce something with the large language model, and then you'll always have to proof it by actually doing the thing. It's double the work.
Yes. It's like owning a dishwasher. I always say owning a dishwasher, you're handling the dishes twice.
Yes, exactly.
Whereas
yes.
If you just wash it and put it away, you're done.
it's dish drift. Yes.
Right. You want to hear the rest of this douchebag? He's pretty funny.
Oh, I love douchebags. Go ahead.
Yeah. And this is a podcast, and this is very typical of the new venture capital guys. They'll have a younger junior partner, and he's the podcast guy, and he'll do podcasts with the investments with the oh yeah, and it's always like, this is great, you know, we're so happy we invested in you, this is good stuff, wow, and you're the genius. And this guy, of course, clearly from the way he talks, is a genius. Wait until you hear some of the terms he makes up.
Human beings are the dominant form of life on this planet pretty much entirely because we're smarter than the other creatures. Now, I just laid out a chain of argument with
Human
beings are the dominant form of life on this planet pretty much entirely because we're smarter than the other creatures. Now, I just laid out a chain of argument with
this kind of person is, this is the type of person, the Silicon Valley, let's just say the Silicon Valley autistic, who speaks so fast that they don't even finish their words because mm-hmm. their brain is going so fast.
Mm-hmm. He's on Adderall. Yeah,
yes, thank you. Okay. He's going so fast that he can't even pronounce all the syllables of the words because it slows him down. He's living his life on 1.7x speed.
No, this is what happens when you listen to podcasts on 1.7x. Let this be a lesson. You become this guy.
Pretty much entirely because we're smarter than the other creatures. Now, I just laid out a chain of argument with a lot of if this, then this, if this, then this, if this, then this. I know Eliza thinks that like we're all doomed for sure. I buy his doom argument. I buy the chain and the logic. Like my P doom, my probability of doom is like, are you my bid ass?
God almighty. P doom. Is this like from the like P values or
yes,
whatever?
Yes.
From the,
yes. P bracket open doom bracket close. His P doom. Yeah. Listen. And he has one more in here.
Like my P doom, my probability of doom is like my bid ask spread. And that's pretty high. Cause I have
my bid ask spread.
A lot of uncertainty, but I would say it's like between like 5 and 50. So there's a wide spread.
Which I think Paul Cresciano.
250.
That's just so horrible, these guys.
So they heard this. They heard this guy, and they're like, "Oh man, that's our CEO. He nailed it.
He's got a P doom of a bid ask spread of between 5 and 50. I mean, this guy's awesome.
I bet he plays video games during meetings. He's such a genius,
and he's awesome on the pickleball court.
Now I understand why some podcast apps go down to negative below 1.x speed.
So you can slow this guy down. But this is what we're dealing with, man. And so
there's nothing left. There's no next.
But that's a really good point about the hardware point. That's the only place money is being made, and Microsoft is probably sick of paying NVIDIA lots of money to buy up these chips and these machines, and then they pass that, so they're losing so much profit passing that on to their clients who we've duped into creating large language. And you know, it might work very well for certain things inside an organization, but I'll bet your company, and I know what they do, I'll bet you they're not going to rely on any of this crap to do anything meaningful.
The way this stuff works is it always comes down through your line of business apps. You don't ever do anything. It's like blockchain. Some upstream provider somewhere is going to do something with this to make their product a little bit more user friendly.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. You don't develop a team in house to go do this in your standard, business. That's just not a thing.
I think they really blew it on the chatbot apps. Cause that's all people see now. It's like, I opened up WhatsApp the other day, because that's what most of my family uses, and Europe uses that instead of text messaging. And they got a chatbot in there, AI. And it's actually not bad, just for little stupid stuff, but that has no value to people. It shows no value. I can see where you might have a better script for your call center. I can see where you open up Word. It's Clippy on steroids. You open up Word, and so, I see you're trying to write your resume. Would you like me to help you with that?
The whole thing's dumb, and I think they realize it now. They got their stock bumps out of it. All of that's done.
Yeah.
And now they need to actually make really real money. Mm-hmm. And the only way they can do that is with hardware. There's no, the software upside of this is done.
Yes, I agree. It's like Descript, which has all this AI stuff in it now. Is that editing software?
Yeah.
And so, James has this, he put out a Pod News episode, and there's this 30-second gap, and he picks up which is very normal. You're recording, and I screwed up. I'm going to pick it up again. If Descript is really AI, why didn't it say, "Rrp, rrp, rrp, you left a 30-second gap here. Shouldn't you check that out? This may be something wrong." Where's the AI?
I go back to the Adam Curry metric of AI is I'll believe it when I no longer get spam.
Yes, the Bayesian model of... Thank you.
Until that day, it's bull.
Thank you very much. That would be the perfect application of AI. I keep forgetting my own rules.
you forget yourself. You forget yourself, dear sir.
Let's thank some people, Dave. I know you got that hard out in about 10 minutes. So I'm going to... We only have a couple of live boosts because, let's face it, we're working through the holiday.
Day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, well, it's nice. We love it. Dave and I'd like to catch up too. That's really what it is. We're friends. We catch up once a week. Salty Crayon just came in with 6,222. It's the evil rooster boost. Hope y'all are having a great Thanksgiving weekend. P.S. Black Friday is a scam. Go podcasting. Yes, huge scam. Chad F. 3333 said, I would love to test an alternate wallet in apps, but Albie seems to be the only one that wants to play ball. I don't think so. I think there's others. This is the whole point. Let's go straight to our partners in crime, the Albie guys, and let's hear where we're at, where they're at.
Sounds good. I'll shoot him a note.
Yeah, especially knowing that, you know, that, that Greenlight may be already doing stuff with them. Let's ask them, what's the future, boys? How we doing? Then we get a beautiful 17,776, a mega freedom boost from Booberry.
Nice.
Coming in the Podverse. In 2020, I was fired from Cats the Musical on tour because of COVID. Out of that came Behind the Schemes, BTS. 3 years later, I find myself in a similar position. I was thrown from the moving vehicle that is the toxic bureaucracy and landed at the gates of value. I will make my worlds of live entertainment and PC 2.0 collide in spectacular fashion. He is... That's interesting. I didn't know about that. That he was. I'd love to know more about what he was doing with Cats the Musical.
Behind the Schemes, it's better than Cats.
Hell yeah! I have a feeling he's working on value for value theater show, streaming, split kit, QR codes. He's figured stuff out. He has a vision. He has a Booberry has a vision. I'd love to know more about it. Excellent.
Get him, we'll get him on the show. We need to get some,
Everybody on the show. Why don't we just reverse it? You and I sit on the screen and everyone else talk. We'll just listen.
Yeah. Reverse podcast.
Dovidas, RSSblue.com, 4,000 sats. Sorry, I'm low on sats. It's okay, bro. Just want to say thank you for the deduping, Dave. Also, is there any reason we can't already establish a unique constraint on podcast GUIDs in the PI database?
Yes.
Okay, is that the answer, or is there more to it?
That is the answer, because if two podcasts have the same GUID, then we need to know which one is right. And if you just put a unique constraint, you may get the wrong one. It has to be resolved. That's what I mean. Like, you have to know that there's a conflict and then resolve that conflict. It's not enough just to ignore one of them.
So what do?
We resolve them.
This is where AI would come in handy, but I guess you and I will just do it by hand for now.
Let's just make chips.
Booberry was the head electrician for Cats the Musical.
Oh, nice.
Cool. Very cool.
That is a cool job. Oh. Yes.
Did I tell you that I met Stephen B in person at the meetup?
No.
Yeah,
no, Stephen B doesn't leave his house.
He did. He came to the Austin No Agenda meetup. It was great. I couldn't stop hugging him. I keep saying, come here, let me hug you again. I kept just saying, this guy, without this guy, nothing would be happening right now.
That was
great to see. So there's a huge boost here, but that was from 14 hours ago. So why don't you go down our list and let's see if it pops up on yours.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. Well, I've got some, PayPal. We got Marco from Overcast, $500.
Marco, thank you.
Sakala, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
Appreciate you, brother.
In and out. He is stable every month forever. thank you, Marco. And we got the boys from Buzzsprout, $500.
Nice.
Baller. Nice. Sakala, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
And of course, they were the big push behind the pod roll by them. You see what it does when you got a big guys like that, and you go from your legacy to modernity. Boom, stuff starts to happen. It's good.
And I promised them that if they built it.
You would do the database part. Yeah,
we got that done, and beautiful. We're going to do more.
So are they going to do stuff with it? Are they going to surface that on their own website? I mean,
they already do. They already show it on individual pages. Yeah,
perfect.
We got some boosts on this boost giving. Let's see, Gene Bean, 2222 through Castmatic. He says, you talk about dividing the podcast index a la iPodder. It almost seems like the DNS analogy is spot on. Let each podcast host be authoritative for the portion of the index that contains the feeds they host. Self-hosters will be responsible for their slice of the index, just like someone self-hosting DNS servers. Yeah, that's sort of the idea. I don't know about necessarily the host company, but just people stepping up to do the slicing.
Here's a weird thing. What if there was a top-level domain which, you know, we know is a very complicated thing, and it takes a lot of money to be approved as a top level domain. But this is something that podcast hosting companies could actually do together. Mm-hmm. A top level domain, they're the registrar. They make it affordable or at least self-sustaining, not try to rip everybody off. Like, and I'm with respect, like .fm, come on.
Yeah. $90. Gosh.
But that becomes the effective GUID, or whatever we need, we literally put it into DNS. Is that a crazy thought?
That is a fantastic idea. Actually, that's a great idea. Like if they came together in sort of a coalition format, I mean, they've already got the PSP or whatever, they could they could come together and do a TLD.
Yep. You can do your verification through that. You can do, and make it, you know, make it basically a part of your hosting service. Oh, and you get this name, you get this subdomain, or you get this domain name dot, you know, podcast or whatever it is.
That's a great idea.
Isn't that the kind of the solution? Then we use the infrastructure of the internet. We have the safety, the confidence of the hosting companies.
Yes.
You know, we trust them. And also make it possible for smalling hoster companies to come in and be a part of that. You know, don't make it exclusionary.
It's got to be doable because Automattic did it with .blog.
Yes.
I mean, and I don't think they would have, I mean, if you spread the sort of the cost and the administration across a coalition of companies.
Yeah.
Surely that's an absorbable cost that's not too burdensome, I would think.
I don't know. And think of all the things we could put into that.
Yeah, for real. That's a super idea.
Yeah, well, there it is. There's the one idea for the day. Finally, we
and
got
it came
something.
In the and it came in the donation segment, so you can't.
Oh my God.
Yes.
let's see. Gene Bean 2222. He says, by the way, I love what you're love that you're driving forward on the Activity Pub stuff, Dave. Yes, thank you, man.
By the way, Ice Cube Soup says, welcome to my suggestion from 2 years ago.
Okay, man. Okay.
All right, man. Sorry. Well, thank you. Ice Cube Soup, yes. Your idea. Your idea, man.
We'll give you credit in the book.
No problem.
Comic strip blogger. Oh, wait, no. He came in early. Oh, let me see.
Yeah,
he
did. He had to do, he's got his big AI test.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So I'll come back to the blog, to the CSBs. Lone Yank 2345 through Podcast Guru says AC frequency boost. I used to be in the security industry, and one manufacturer based the alarm system clock on either 50 or 60 hertz. Many customers, particularly rural ones, often complained their clock was wrong, and the manufacturer told us it was because the power grid frequency was not exact. Go podcasting.
How Paul about Hearn, that?
Go podcasting!
How about that? Yeah.
Yeah, that seems like a sketchy thing to do, is put your clock on the AC.
I agree.
Bill Prague, he's a Hive guy, 2000 sats through Fountain. He says, you are already using a decentralized database with unique identifiers as usernames. You are just not using it for unique identifiers. Heard no complaints about Podping, so I'm assuming it works just fine. Insert Hive joke. Thank you, Bill. Kevin Bay, 11722 through Podverse. He says, here are the sats I received for hosting podcasts on my IPFS node, along with the extra 10K as a thanks for everything you two do.
Oh, happy Thanksgiving. Nice. Thank you. Thank you very much, Kevin. Man. That's kind of you.
Looks like, Gene Bean came in with a 1337 through Podverse. He says, Dave, regarding monitoring of the index, do you have a specific endpoint you would like watched? In the last show, it kind of sounded like you had something specific in mind, asking you, because I think odds are good that I can do this monitoring for you. I would monitor the iTunes lookup endpoint. That's an open endpoint that doesn't need an API key. And that will just pick a podcast, ours or something, and just do a lookup on it every few minutes, hit it and see if everything's kosher.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good one. Thank you, Gene. I appreciate it. Let's see. We got, our podcast, 500,000 sats.
Hold on a second.
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
That's nice. I got to go check the channel liquidity now.
Yeah. Howdy, Dave and Adam. I heard your pleas to prospectively find those pesky duplicates in the database, and I'm eager to try and solve this with my R skills. In my first check, I did not find any duplicates based on URLs, but should I be using other attributes to define duplicate entries? My quick look at dupes based on podcast GUID was shocking, to say the least. Yes, so you'll never find a duplicate URL because those are there's a unique constraint on those. What you can look at is a combination of title and episodes. So if you find a podcast that has some threshold of the same title and the same and a similar count of episode titles that both match. So something like, in the downloadable database, what you're looking at is the only episode title you'll see is like the most recent one. So you can see what the most recent, That's wrong. Episode enclosure.
Enclosure URL. That's the one. Yeah. That's the one.
So if you see conflicts there, also check for, there's a thing in there called hash, a C hash. There's a few different hashes in there. Check for conflicts on those. Check for conflicts on image art URLs. Look around through there. You'll find a good combination that'll give you clues as to good conflicts. Yeah, thank you for doing that and paying us for it. Thank you so much.
that's a beautiful baller boost, man. Thank you. I haven't seen one of those in a while. I love that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you, brother. And comes to your blogger, 33015 through Fountain. He says, howdy, Bitcoin bros, Dave and Adam. this is the last boostergram for me for 2023. I'll be back in 2024. Yo, CSB.
Yo, CSB. Thank you so much. And do you have any monthlies? Yeah.
Yeah, we got Trevor at Xenor is $5. He's an Aussie. Michael Goggin, $5. Charles Current, $5. Sean McCune, $20. Thank you, Sean. Christopher Reamer, $10. Thank you, Chris. Cohen Glossbach, $5. James Sullivan, $10. And Jordan Dunville, $10. And we also got a Kevin Bay donation from the Endowment Fund, $3.54.
Nice.
He says, monthly donation from the Endowment. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody who supports, everybody in general, but everybody supports us in one of the three T's, which is time, talent, and treasure. And we really appreciate that. If you'd like to support the project, if you'd like to support everything that happens here, including the board meeting, go to podcastindex.org. At the bottom there, you'll find two red donate buttons. One is for your fiat fund coupons through PayPal, the other one for on-chain. But really, we'd like you to go to podcastapps.com, get a value for value podcast app, fill her up, and shoot it over to us with your note, with your numerology. We love all of that stuff, and we really appreciate your support of the entire project and the podcast. And just before we go, because I know Tom and Kevin listen, these are the right guys, by the way. Ice Cube Soup, the DNS idea has been discussed over and over and over again. What's new here is the Pod Standards Project. This is the group. This is what the group can do to have a TLD, to communicate amongst each other. So, you know, whatever the and it costs like $100,000 or $200,000, you know, I think, to get one of these. And you have to be checked. You have to be a proper organization. You got to, you know, turn to the left and cough. And there's all the stuff you got to do. I have a feeling that this is a very interesting idea for, this would be the real quote unquote industry. And it would be, you know, I mean, have a company like Buzzsprout and have some of the bigger guys all participate in this would be fantastic. What exactly, Dave, at first glance, because the whole point of this is we have special text fields that we have. What are the things we want to centralize through this distributed DNS system? Is it the GUIDs? What are all the things we need to put in there?
I think this could become the GUID.
This becomes the GUID. All right.
Yeah, your TLD. I mean, your podcast gets a TLD, gets a domain. Behind the Schemes gets behindtheschemes.podcast. Mm-hmm. And that's just now your GUID. And we would put in a TXT record where the feed URL lives.
And can we do verification through this as well, I guess? That would be a simple thing to do.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
for
it would solve a lot of that, right?
Yeah, you could put a signature in there, some sort of DMARC type. type setup, but instead of email, it's, you know, this is solving it for podcast verification. No, I think it's,
does this, in fact, is this beautiful. A part of the fedification of the index as well?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. This is like a fantastic way to fedify.
The main thing is it has to be an org that can't be jacked by somebody.
Mm.
You know, that's the main thing. It would have to be some kind of a real nonprofit that does this. And this is where everybody can get in there and have their board meetings and have all your important hats on and stuff. So we solve a whole bunch of problems.
I love this idea. I really hope I will be an advocate for this. I want this to happen. It's great.
Thank you very much, chat room, for being with us. For those of you in America on this holiday, although maybe we're just a very welcome distraction for you, because who wants to really talk to your relatives? I mean,
hey, thanks for Darren too, for letting us boot him off the street.
Darren and Gene, thank you guys very much. I think Darren and Gene, thank you so much. And I'll get my own server up and running. Dave, happy Thanksgiving, my brother.
Happy Boostgiving to you. Have a good weekend.
Yes, have a great weekend, everybody. We'll be back next week with another episode of Podcasting 2.0. It's the boardroom of all boardrooms. Till then, everybody, take care. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
Oh my God.